Okay, good morning, everybody. We are on page 31. Maybe I'll just backtrack a little bit. Let's just go to the beginning of the topic, a quick review. Page 30, we're going to talk about ovens, and we'll start with 15. Okay, so here we go. Using the modern day, our topic is modern day appliances and the kashrut issues that take place with them. And we want to talk about an oven. So the question is, can I cook milky meat in the oven or not? So we said that one issue is going to be what's called zea, which is steam. And what do I mean by this? If I cook a lasagna in the oven and I cook chicken in the oven, even though they are in separate Pyrex dishes, at the same cooking at the same time, you know, I have steam, I have cheese, I have, you know, emitting in the oven, and I also have chicken and I have steam coming on the oven, and you know they're gonna like, you know, do a little dance inside the oven, and is that a problem or not, right? Meaning I'm not cooking milk and meat technically together. I just have two pots, two dishes in an oven, okay? Is this an issue? So the Tshuva HaRosh, which is source 15, where, you know, we're going back, you know, to 1200s or around, and he was asked this question about cooking a meat dish in the same oven at the exact same time. Okay, so this is the question: alfas chalavis, acholaves, that you're allowed to cook. Right, this is using a dairy pan, right? Can I cook milk and meat in the same oven on different levels? Right, lamata, right? So top and bottom, I guess, floor of an oven. Those of you that have seen, can show you some pictures of good medieval cooking process, right? They would have different floors, different racks inside their oven, right? Fine. He says, nearly, asur, no good. Even if he was b'di'evet, meaning, oh, I didn't realize this is the situation. I'm now going to make the pot aser, the food aser, why? So actually, the truth is, what's on top, what's on the bottom? That's actually important, maybe. So I actually have a situation. I have the meat at the bottom and the dairy on top. Okay? That's the situation. And he's going to make the, he's going to say that it's aser. Because the steam, which is rising in this oven from this dish, is like dairy itself. So this is a very important principle. Steam of an item, steam of your chicken, steam of your lasagna is like the lasagna, is like your chicken, okay? You know, I don't know if physically, if I were to capture that steam, I don't know the answer to this question, but if I were to capture that steam, you know, I guess it would have the DNA, right? I guess it would have the molecules or the particles are taken from the actual food itself. Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, fine. So here we go. And where does he base this on? He bases this on a Mishnah in Machshirin. Merchatz Tameya. If a person is... just the merchatz tmeya. If I have an impure shvitz, bathhouse, ze asa tmeya, then the steam of this bathhouse is also is can make someone tame, impure. V'tahara b'chiyusan. So I don't want to get into this. It's not that complicated. But there's another concept when it comes to the laws of Tumah Tahara, purity and impurity are quite complicated, both from a Torah perspective and from a rabbinic perspective. And what you're trying to say is that the zeya is tamei v'tahor b'chiyutan, but the so if the actual if it's a if it's tahor, meaning if it's tahora, if the merchas itself is pure, so then it falls under a category of v'chiyutan. V'chiyutan means it's a scenario that it actually well, it's not necessarily it's a liquid. Liquids, once it certain liquids have an ability to affect impure items, food in particular. So that concept is called v'chiyutan. So the actual liquid is, we don't want to use the term that it's pure, because liquids actually can make other food items susceptible to the laws of tumah. So that's what the chiyutan here is referring to. Okay? That meaning it's pure, but it still has an ability, because it's essentially liquid, it still has an ability to render something impure if it lands on it. But let's leave it at that. Berecha, so now we're talking about a swimming pool, a pool, really, not a swimming pool, just a pool of water, shebabayis, right? So let's say you have a pool in one's home. So if you have a water in a house, and because of that, the actual house, there's steam in the house, right? In the situation where if this pool of water is impure, then what would happen is the steam now, this pool, is going around and filling up the house, and that could actually cause it impure. So basically, essentially, we see an important principle here, and that is that the steam of something is the status of that something, whether it's pure or impure. That really is what matters for our perspective, meaning that steam has substance. Steam has significance. Steam is an extension of the item itself. We see that from the laws of purity and impurity. And then this, the mission is going to continue and just essentially just focus on that as well. Okay, fine. So that's really what we're that concerned about. So if you actually flip down to source 31, because remember, can you extrapolate from the laws of purity and impurity to food and to kosher? That's an extrapolation. Can we extrapolate? So yeah, the Rosh says so, but is that the halacha? Is that really true? Source 16. So what's the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch? Machva shel chalav shenisnu bekira tachas kedera shel basar. So I have now, again, two different levels, different floors. I have a dairy dish. I have a dairy pan that is under a meat pan. Right, so meat, therefore, is at the top and here's the bottom. Hazeya ola v'nivla v'kdera v'osrasa steam where, yes, in an oven, steam were going to rise, and the dairy would get into the meat, and it would make it asr. Okay, now, what is important here is this scenario. What does this look like, right? What does this look like? So this is going to be a very important caveat. Says the Ramah, look at 17. Kolze, that this scenario of steam, my resha machvas migula. Excuse me, migula. This is talking about a case where my pan is actually, there's no cover over it, right? It's open. Vazeo lamin ocha, so steam therefore can then exit from the food. Lakdera shalaha, and therefore the steam can rise up. Right, so the steam which is underneath my dairy is one's under the other. The gam myra shehuva karvko kasher soletus bezei b'makom shen agei bakdera. Yeah, and by the way, I'm not even talking. Says the Ramah. Yeah, don't fixate on top and bottom. Fixate on proximity. Right. So if I don't have such a narrow oven, but my oven's a little wider, and I could actually put two items next to each other, he says that'd be the exact same thing. Right. But what he says here is covered and not covered. And what he's talking about, that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, that the Chuvah of Rosh is talking about, you're talking about when there's no cover over your food. So in my very limited knowledge of cooking, and please correct me, I'm sure there are people here that know a lot more than I do, but there are certain types of dishes that you want to cook not covered and certain dishes that you want to cook covered for various reasons, right? You want to brown it, or you want to you gotta, you know, crust out the outside a little bit. In other words, you want to keep it moist. So if you put the cover over it, it gets more moist. The liquids don't escape, right? It gets kind of trapped in it. So the Ramah here is saying that if you cover it, right, which makes sense, well, there's no zea. There'd be no steam because the steam is being trapped. So that's an important point that the Ramah here highlights. And we'll put that in our back of our heads. And again, we're not yet extrapolating to modern day ovens. We're not quite there yet. We're now sticking to the medieval methods of cooking. It's funny, I gave a shiur for a few months on the cooking on Shabbos, like reheating and returning food to item and how much the food has to be cooked before Shabbat begins and all that. So it's actually very important to know what ovens look like, because the rabbis put a lot of decrees on cooking, because, you know, Jews like food and cooking. They put a lot of decrees on it, and you have to understand that how much you can extrapolate from the ovens from those days to today, in terms of what you need to do to avoid, you know, stoking the coals. You have to understand the Middle Ages, the ovens were open. And how much access did you actually have to the wood, and how much was it closed or sealed? Anyways, those are not for now, but it's a very important topic. So goes back to this Ramah in 17. He's talking about a situation again where there's no pot over it, and of course approximation is going to be very important. And once again, we see this important Yad Zoletis Bo, right? This temperature, which is very important, because if it's not hot, then as we've seen before, well, you're not really doing anything. Right, of course, if the steam itself is not going to be Yad Zoletzbo, so everything's going to be permitted, because Yad Zoletzbo is a key for transferring. And remember, we saw way back when, well, this goes back towards the beginning, what's the definition of Yad Zoletzbo? So we saw the upper limit, the lower limit, you know, 42 degrees or something. Go check if you want. I can remind you. We have basically it's about 40 degrees or so. Not that hot at all, but definitely warm. Okay, next. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger, he argues and says, so he doesn't argue. He's essentially saying that what? The Yad Zoletes Bezea, Vim Eni Yad Zoletes Bezea Mutar Im Lo Shakdera Rosachas Bifnei Atzma. Obviously, if the steam, right, is not Yad Zoletes, because the steam doesn't have this, if it's not hot enough, if it's not hot enough, obviously it's going to be permitted. Of course, says the Rabbi Kiva Eger, you know, if the pot is also boiling, so then the steam from one, which might not boil, is going into the other, and that's going to cause it also to be heated up. So you have to be aware of that as well. Okay? So, says the Dagur Mervava in 19, Hazea Ola Venivla Bagderva Osrasa Kama Machvas Nesra Shazea Nesra Osrasa. The Dagum of Ava says, you know, people, I want you to point out something. We're not just talking about the food that the steam can enter, from the dairy steam entering the meat food, but even your pot is going to be in trouble, right? Because your dairy from your cheese souffle is now going to enter through the steam, is going to enter into the pot itself. So not only is your food toast, but your pot is toast. Okay, and that's what he's trying to say here. So, okay, fine. Next, that's what he points out in 19. Okay, but again, he's going to say the only that's going to be Aser, though, is going to be the one at the bottom. That's actually important to point out, not the one at the top. Why that is another technicality, which we don't have time to explain, but that's the case. Anyways, in our situation, if they're next to each other, it's not going to matter so much. Well, he says the Ramah, here we go. Im afu tzolu isur v'heter tachas machvas achas, megulim. If you're going to bake or you're going to roast, obviously forget just, you know, bas v'chav meat and milk. We're talking about kosher, not kosher, right? So now I'm cooking kosher and not kosher in the same oven, right? And they're both migulim, they're both uncovered. Trouble, no good. They're going to be aser. The huadin, it is also the case, im afu b'chi ha'gavna pas im basar. Also, if it's true, if it's bread with meat, my bread now has absorbed the steam from the meat. I would not be allowed to eat this bread with dairy because it's meat bread. But if I were to have an oven that I made meat in, and now I'm baking bread right after, so that I don't be worried about. Ella im ken hazeh machvas mishnehem. Unless, of course, the actual pot itself gives off steam from both of them, right? Meaning, the az asur filib zechazeh, yimay yishneim agulin, to have the kikisur shakadera. So in a situation where, that when you're baking them, the bread that is, right? One after the other, there's no issue. Unless, of course, the actual pot itself gave off steam from both of them. As then it would be asur, be forbidden, even when it is one after the other. Both, of course, in a situation where they're migulin, where they are uncovered. Okay? So again, here we're talking about, and this is important to point out, what does this mean? You know, the gave off steam, right? That's a very, what is that, what's it referring to here? So we're talking about, so there's two different things here. There's zeya, and there's also one called recha. Right? Recha is a reach, a fragrance that food gives off. Now, is recha significant? Zeya seems to be significant, but what about recha? Right? That's smell, fragrance, right? Now, that is a very interesting question. Take a look at the footnote number 9, if you scroll down. It's a very important footnote that actually talks about this case. So the question of whether recha has significance or not, right, is definitely, recha is going to be more lenient than zeya, because recha is not going to matter. Meaning, if I have meat, if I cook meat in an oven, and it's still hot afterwards, once I've cooked it and take it out and do bread, that's not zeya. That's called recha. So my oven will still smell like meat, but you can't tell me it's steam because I've removed the item, right? So there's no steam left in the oven. There might be smell, there might be an aromatic smell in the oven of my meat dish, but I don't have actual steam. The steam is gone once I've removed the item, okay? So the recha that remains in the oven, because it still smells like meat for a while because it was cooked in there, that is not going to be, he's not so concerned about that, okay? Unless, of course, and this is what he's referring to here, that if there's steam, that look at this last line in the footnote number 9, the Ramah then adds that if steam was produced and the upper pan absorbs steam from a dairy at the bottom, and the steam may condense and forbid another meat pot placed under later. That's only because it was kind of, you know, sticking around a little bit. That's why. Okay? So, and the other last thing that's referring to here, if, let's say, you make a mistake, right? Let's say you make a mistake. So I cover, I flip my covers. I put a meat cover on a dairy item, right? Which is not so crazy, you know, in the times. You know, where my pots look similar, so I could definitely confuse them. So he says that potentially could be a problem, okay? Because it absorbed from the previous taste. He said that might be an issue that you have to be concerned about, okay? So again, that's footnote number 10, a case where you put a meat cover on the lid of a dairy pot, or you mix it up. And if the food is actually hot, then the steam from the food is absorbed into the lid and actually would make it not kosher, right? So that's referring to kosher, not kosher scenarios. So you definitely have to be aware of that as well, okay? So, okay, now the question is how much can we extrapolate into the modern era? Okay, and this really is super, super duper important because all these things are, you know, you have to understand the ovens in the olden days, not in the days. Okay, there's one more thing I got to explain. Well, actually, forget it. They explain it here. I can do it inside. So now, the Aruch HaShulchan, who's a great leader, thinker, posek in just, 150 years ago, he is lenient. And he actually allows, if you cook meat and milk back to back in an oven, right? Now, you have to understand something. Our ovens are much larger than the typical ovens that they had in the times of Rishonim. You can see my screen. I think this is worthwhile mentioning because this is good basic knowledge over here. And nobody in this group comes to my Sunday morning tomorrow class. So I'm going to show you the way ovens used to look in the times of Chazal. I think you'll be able to see. I have, picture books are very helpful. So in my hand, I have the Mishnayos of Shabbos. And in the third chapter of Shabbos, talks about different ovens that existed in the times of Chazal. So let me show you what they look like. You'll see why this is important. Where am I? I need the third chapter. Where is it? Here we go. Okay, you ready? So take a look at an oven. Can you guys see this? Hang on. Problem with using a P, I'm reading off a PDF, so I actually can't see any one of you. Well, I know I'm actually not talking to anybody. Okay. I don't feel, if you can look at the camera, that'd be great. Here's an example that is called a kira in the times of Chazal, right? A kira is an oven where you can put the food on top, see the circles, or inside. Generally speaking, you didn't cook, you didn't put the food inside, you put the coals in there. And they allow you to put the food on top. You see that? Okay, that's the picture. That's called a kira. Another method of cooking. See, there's a picture of a kira, put the food on top. See? The other example is what's called a tanur. A tanur is this. I know in modern Hebrew, a tanur is an oven, but that's not true. I mean, it is true, but there's different types of ovens in Chazal. The second type of oven is called a tanur. You see that? That's like a cylinder. Then you rarely would put two pots. There's only, we put one pot in there usually, okay? Put it at the top. That was super duper hot. Okay. Tanners are much hotter than kira. Why is that important? It's important because either way you look at it, they're much smaller than our modern day ovens. That's why it matters. Okay, here we go. Oh boy, it's already 6:26. That's okay. That's why we learn more than one day a week. So here we go. Okay. He says, so he's going to, Archa Shofan, ready? Let's start. V'nei b'din zeya mitbarer lanu mimishna demachshirin lo shayach zeya el magam hamukav, says Archa Shofan. You want to talk about steam. He makes an important qualification. The steam that the Mishnah in machshirin, about people who schwitz, who sweat, or bathhouses that sweat, right? That type of steam is only talking about a case in a makom hamukav, if it's totally enclosed, lo makom galoy, if it isn't open, kamo kira shakdira tachtona netuna ba, just like a kira. Remember that oven I told you about? An oven has a kira; it has potentially two layers to it, right? Shatachtona netuna ba, right? Do you remember you saw that picture of a kira? It's enclosed, right? It's like a box, right? It's like a box. Va'aleha omed ha'olana. Then you put. Right, you can put it in, or you can put it on top. So let's say if you are the top, so you have two different pots. I'm Mr. Pot A, and Mr. Pot A is sitting inside, and then there's Pot B, which is sitting on top. So that's a kishrav. It's going literally directly there. You're literally inches away, and it's shooting right on top. The Ola Hazeya Saviv, we are not going to get past this. Saviv, right? And so the steam has one way to go, one place, one way to go, until the top. Vola Hazeya Saviv Saviv, Shein La Makam Hazeya, Aval Makam Galui, Shabbat Tanarim Shalanu. But in the modern era, our ovens have air. Hazeya Ola Ba'avir Ve'ino Oser Hakadera Hasimuch Lo. But our ovens are open, right? They're open ovens. So again, don't use, don't think of the ovens that we have in our house yet. But we have open ovens. So what I'm trying to explain to you, my friends, before we get to the modern era, which we're going to start tomorrow, which is Surah 22, this is very important. Because you need to understand the ovens of the Middle Ages, the ovens that existed 150 years ago, and extrapolate the ovens of 2020. So the question is, are our ovens open ovens or are our ovens closed ovens? Well, look at our ovens. They're pretty closed, aren't they? Right? Yeah, they're big, but they're closed. But they're bigger. So does that mean the zeah is less concentrated and they dissipate in our larger ovens? Are our ovens considered vented, right? All of our ovens have vents in them. So therefore, the steam maybe exits and doesn't get trapped. And it's not like they had in the olden days. Those are great questions that we're going to have to examine. Does the ventilation of our ovens make them in a situation where the zeah, where the steam can escape and they don't get trapped in there, like the times of Chazal? Our ovens much larger, in which case, even if it is trapped, they still, the weakness, they're dissipated because of the large size, they're not as concentrated. Would that have an impact? All of that we're going to discuss tomorrow morning, now that we've set out these important principles. Let's see how they play out in the modern era. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Great to see you, or at least see your name on a screen, which is almost as good. Have a, what is it today? Tuesday. Terrific Tuesday. And Mazel Tov, Yoel's in Colorado for a good friend's wedding. Yoel, give the chatan, are from a distance, of course. Give him a big hug and kiss.
I will.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Great to see you.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Welcome back, Gage.